This is a replay of the Tuesday night, April 14th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, NLS Sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
The Lunatic Fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and I am just beside myself. All right, so I have a number of things that I plan to do tonight. Really looking forward to talking to Nick from Baltimore, too. The problem here at the moment is that Windows did another update. I've got dozens of computers here, and the interesting thing is that on the programs that are associated with professional commercial broadcasting, they are Windows programs, and there's really no workaround to most of them. You're stuck. So it is that I deal with updates and those kind of things. And of course, Windows updates, I don't care what you tell it to do as far as not doing the updates, it's going to do it. And especially if it's any form of virus definitions or the like, it's going to do it no matter how you set it. And so it is that it did an update. Well, okay then. And so it is that the program that I use to access the phones, to put them on the air, to know who is calling, has been considered to be not secure. Now, of course, it is secure as hell as far as that goes. I'm not going online with it. It's a private program that is done through Telos, and it's a company actually in Great Britain that puts it out. And the problem is that it didn't occur to me to check to see if the program would load because it always loads. So I've been sitting here for 2 hours planning what to do and playing your requests and all that kind of thing. And turns out that I can't load the program. And so John can easily screen it and tell me who's on. But if I cannot access the program, I can't put the lines on the air because that is the way it works. Period. And so I'm not 100% sure what to do about this, especially since I'm on the air talking about it. There's no time for me to really, drill it down and find out exactly how to do it. I guess I can create an exclusion in the Windows security, but that takes a moment to say the least. I can't do that while we're talking. Oh man. So John has a question. What is it?
If I switch to talent, can I put this?
I don't think you can. You see, the problem is that it's connected to this system. You can try it, but I don't think so. I don't use, by the way, I don't use talent, so probably not.
I'll try.
It shouldn't work. It's connected to this system. But we'll find out. Actually, no, I don't think there's a way to do it. I wish there was. Oh, man. So, yeah, it's a 3-hour monologue, I'm afraid, and I wasn't really prepared for that. I'd much rather talk to Nick in Baltimore about UK radio. I think that's what's on his mind, and you too as well. So we'll see what we can do, but I've got plenty of things to discuss since Bob sends me links. Oh, yeah. All sorts of interesting links that things that you normally don't even wonder about, like all the backstories on famous brands and logos and all that kind of stuff. I read this article, and the one that interested me actually was the Rolling Stones iconic red lips logo, which you just see everywhere. Well, graphic designer John Pasch was 25 years old and an art student at the Royal College of Art when he created it. It's a long story how they got him to it, but ultimately Mick Jagger liked it, and so they paid him $1,344. That would be the equivalent today in USD. I think he was paid £50 for it, and they own it forever. Yeah, isn't that always the way? I have a friend, Paige Bryant. Paige was an interesting woman. She's the person who many, many years ago, decades ago, lived in Sedona. And she's the one who told me about the energy vortexes. And the first thing I said is vortices. And she said, what are they? I said, never mind, we'll go with vortexes. All right, so nobody had heard about this at that point. And she made a big deal of it and explained it and all that. And to this day now, she's long deceased, but... what?
You've got Nick.
I've got Nick?
I believe so.
Yeah. Well, I don't think so, because here's my deal. I've got the pot up for that, and you're not there, are you, Nick? No.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Yes, yes, it worked. Can you hear me, Nick, though? That's the part I don't know.
Yes.
You can
yes.
hear me, too. All right, so good. Good. All right. So I'll finish.
Hello.
The Paige Bryant story. Don't go away. All right. Well, okay. We'll leave you right where you are. So anyway, it became this real big thing, and of course now Sedona is this pricey area with all sorts of retreats and all that, and they talk about the quote unquote vortexes. They never changed that. I was pleased to see in some of Sedona's literature, if you look at the history, they do mention Paige. But if it weren't for Paige, probably none of us would know Sedona. And it was interesting because her husband was a graphic artist, and one of his clients was Tom Parker. And when Elvis was first appearing at the International after it had been bought by Hilton, and it became Las Vegas Hilton, it had been the International Hotel, they said, design something. And so he designed the iconic H that Hilton used forever. Now, what happened is Hilton saw the ad, loved it, and went to Parker and said, hey, what would it take to get that H? And Colonel Parker said, oh, you can just have it. And so, meanwhile, Paige's husband, Scott, cringed for decades every time he saw that. And I think they're both no longer with us, and I suspect they died penniless as well. So we're going to talk to Nick here in moments. But before we do, because one of my favorite topics, and I know one of Nick's as well, is radio. And I want to mention the SkyWave SSB2. Which is a wonderful radio. And what's wonderful about it, of course, is that you may have an emergency radio, but you try to use it when the power's out and you find out the batteries are dead. Or maybe you've put it in the windowsill to take ability of solar power if that's available, and you find out that it's lackluster and you got nothing. And of course, the electricity's out. So what do you want? You want a radio, you want a flashlight, maybe the batteries are dead on both of them. Well, that's where the CC SkyWave SSB2 comes into play. It's small enough to fit in the palm of your hand. It weighs about 8 ounces. It is just wonderful as far as that goes. It can receive critical single sideband transmissions, often used during hurricanes, earthquakes, disasters, when normal communications fail. And it is just terrific. You get AM and FM, which is what is the hallmark of the Sea Crane Company, just better reception than anything you're going to get today. NOAA weather alerts. And also with the 2-meter band, you get access to ham operators from all over the world. It's interesting even when there's no emergency, but it'll prepare you for the next emergency, and it will fit right in the palm of your hand. It's compact, it's powerful, and I think you'll like it. Go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. Look at the CC SkyWave SSB2. If you can't go online, Well, you can call them. They've got great customer service. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. And they'll answer all your questions. You can order by phone as well. But if you can go online, go to ccradio.com. ccradio.com and look at the CC Skywave SSB2. By the way, I think I was just confusing it with another one of the C-Crane radios. So I want to check that first. But it is just terrific as far as that goes. And I think that I was confusing it with the CC Solar, which is wonderful because you can hand crank it. But the beauty of the Skywave 2 with AM, FM, shortwave, NOAA weather, and the VHF aviation band, I might tell you, is all the information you'll get right in the palm of your hand. It makes it a terrific travel radio. And it's not terribly expensive either. Go to ccradio.com. You look at the CC Skywave 2. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio. Oh, that's interesting. And it didn't work. All right. On top of everything else. I know. These are the times to try men's souls. All right. Yeah. Well, let's try it again.
Just when I think I'm over you, just when I'm through with being blue, I pass the record store, and coming through the door, I hear our favorite melodies. They're playing Hit the Road Jack, they're saying you come back, they're playing Take Good Care of My Baby. Turn around and walk on home. What can you do when you're alone? Turn on the radio, and baby, wouldn't you know, I hear our favorite melody. Run to him.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Gary Criss. And a fine song using all the other songs from 1962, which is when they came out on Diamond, and that was Andy in Los Angeles who asked for it. Yeah, Diamond was an interesting label. Joe Kolsky and Phil Kahl, who were brothers, associates, shall we say, of Moish Levy at Roulette, had that label. And back to Nick in Baltimore. So what's up, Nick?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I've been better.
You sound great. Everything sounds good. I wanted to... Well, first, I have a request.
I'm listening. Okay. I'm listening.
And the best is Hank Ballard.
Ah, okay.
Coochie Coochie Coom.
Okay, sure. I'll be happy to play it.
You know, whenever you know.
I'll be happy
to play it. When you play tunes, do you spin them on, do you have...
Sometimes. It depends. I've got a turntable, cassette player, CD player, and mini disc player in front of me. So any of those formats are very easy for me on the air.
And, you don't have cart machines?
You know, I still have cart machines, but not in the studio anymore. I don't have a reason for them anymore. You know, I really used to love them because I would set them to automatically go off right before I needed to go to a break so that it would keep me timed when it mattered, you know. And I probably haven't used a cart machine since 2011. Yeah. But I've still got them.
You know, I loved carts, but the station I worked for was so cheap they started buying ready-made carts. We used to have to wind our own carts.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Sure.
You get the pancake reel.
Yes, of course. Yeah, no, I remember. Yeah, I remember it well. And then, depending upon what they used, it was the spot masters. I hated those. We had to click them in place and all that. So it depended. You know, some were good, some weren't. It was a great advancement. And it was the guy who owned WROK who actually came up with a tertiary tone that allowed it to work. So for every art machine sold, their family got money, which was nice. Long story on that. I'm not sure he actually came up with a toner and engineer of his, but he had the rights. So that's about all that matters. So
we had Spotmaster and ITC.
Yeah, ITC I liked better than Spotmaster, that's for sure. But there were so many.
Yeah.
Audis cart. I still have some Audis carts, and there were a bunch of different manufacturers. And it was interesting because at the NAB for many, many years, Capital Magnetics, which of course, you probably got the raw tape from them actually, but they made a lot of the carts. And so at the NAB, they'd have this big cocktail party, best prawns ever. And I saw a couple years ago that finally they discontinued having it because, of course, there's nothing to sell.
Yeah. You're getting on the break there pretty soon.
Absolutely, in a minute and a half. I'm actually looking at that because I'm going to try to converse with Windows during the news. Now, since I don't have a Windows account and refuse to, it's going to be even more interesting. But we'll see how it goes. So anyway. Yeah.
Should I hang in?
Oh, of course. Of course. No, no, absolutely. Well, we've got a minute here. So tell me what we're going to be talking about after the news.
Well, I wanted to ask about radio in the UK, DAB, and all that.
Okay.
And
sure.
And some other stuff. I'll make it interesting. Don't worry.
It is interesting, and it's heartbreaking that when Eureka debuted, Germany and Japan had come up with that the United States wouldn't adopt it, of course, because it would have upset the economic apple cart. But the difference was it works. It works very, very well. But, of course, would we do that? No. So we came up with IBOC, which, of course, is a disaster. And Canada had adopted Eureka, and I was like, oh, this is wonderful. And then they dropped it because the U.S. didn't. They wanted to align themselves with America and... it's real sad when economics dictates engineering because the result is never a pretty picture. So, but sure, we can talk about DAB and DAB Plus and what's going on and throughout most of the world at this point. And so we're certainly behind the curve. And of course, our HD2s, as we call them, and HD3s, it's terrible when they can be used for translators. But we'll talk about all that and more coming up after the news right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Nolan Strong and the Diablos, Mind Over Matter, 1962, Fortune. Yeah, Smokey Robinson's favorite singer, as far as that goes, yeah. And Berry Gordy wanted him so badly on Motown, and Nolan Strong would not leave the Browns, Devorah, at Fortune. And so what what Berry Gordy did was, when Mind Over Matter came out, like the minute it came out, he got the Temptations together. He got them in the studio. He got them to cover it. He renamed the Temptations for this particular release, which he put on Melody, the Pirates. And I'll get it here in a moment, because I got the 45 on Melody. The Pirates did it. Now, of course, Nolan Strong was definitely the preferred version, but the Temptations acting like Nolan Strong is sounding a bit like this. Well, Nolan Strong, they weren't, but pretty darn close, actually, and better distribution, too, but still, it didn't do a thing. But yeah, Berry Gordy just went crazy because he wanted Nolan Strong, and so did Smokey Robinson, as far as that goes. All right, so that was Robert and LaGrange who requested that, and a couple more that we will play, and we're talking to Nick in Baltimore. Okay, so UK radio, what about it?
Well, what I was interested in was, I know they still have medium wave there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they have FM, but the frequencies are different. And I guess they have 9 kilohertz separation. But
like most of the world, since 2016, they've been on DAB Plus, and most of the receivers are compatible with DAB and DAB Plus. Backward compatible, that I'm not 100% percent sure. It's interesting because DAB is probably higher in quality, but DAB Plus is. Mm-hmm. But DAB is probably better in signal. As far as that goes, so it's in Great Britain, it's a mixed infrastructure. You could use both, but I believe they are still simulcasting.
Well, the thing is that I have a couple of Ocean Digital internet radios that have DAB on them.
Uh-huh.
Of course, you can't get anything here. But if I was over in the UK, it would work. But how does that work, though? What's the coverage like? Is it by quadrant where area you're in, or?
Yeah, the coverage is actually pretty darn good, which was the reason they didn't accept it. By the way, I just looked it up while we're speaking to C. And BBC, BBC4 and local radio, they have been shutting down the medium wave transmitters, period. And they started doing this as of April. Most of them were shut down. And a lot of the BBC local have done that as well. BBC5 is still on medium wave, although check minute by minute, because they might be now. They're you know, what they call it is digital first, and that's the approach they want to go with. And I believe last year long wave, for obviously reasons in terms of power and what it costs and all that, was shuttered. So as far as commercial operators, because they have that there now. You don't have to be on a ship in the middle of the ocean, or the water anyway. Most commercial, like Bauer and all that, switched off AM transmitters a couple years ago. So that ultimately is the way it's going virtually everywhere. And I would say that the UK rollout, which, I think that started, started in the 90s. That was a huge rollout.
Yeah, because I listened to Capital Gold, and they always pushed DAB.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah. So that is
it's kind of interesting.
I think they originally, like I say, Eureka 147 that I keep talking about because it was so good. They originally were doing experimental transmissions on that as early as 1990, but the public wasn't aware, of course. And by 95, though, certainly London, it was there and it was advertised. And I think they say before the 90s ended, it was available to about 70% of the population. So
Australia has it too, I believe.
Well, doesn't everybody? Wouldn't it be easier to find a country that didn't?
This one.
Well, it does, but it's not Eureka, of course. It does, but that's the problem with Eibach. And as I say, originally, when they rolled out Eibach and the, you know, possibility for HD 2 or 3, or if you really wanted to split the bandwidth, maybe 4, but, you know, 2 and 3, realistically speaking, the thought was, as you well know, that there would be niche programming and that people would offer things on the sub-channels. And that was fine until they allowed the sub-channels to be used as the basis for translators. And what that did, of course, is it threw the whole system into jeopardy, because if you couldn't put a translator on because of the limitations of where you had to be in relationship to that transmitter and the 60 dB contour and all that kind of stuff, the bottom line is you could use somebody's HD2 and do all sorts of things that you otherwise couldn't do. So if they can lease their HD2 to another commercial broadcaster, why the heck would they try to put on all psychics all the time like CBS in Detroit did originally? But, you know, it's a loophole that shouldn't have been there. Now the problem is that there's such little listening that you can't find the radios. You know, when you
have to order them.
Right. Right. So it's not like you can go to the big box store and pick up an HD radio. They look at you like you've lost your mind. And of course, this all goes back to the fact that what Eureka did and what made it so good is it took both AM and FM and it put it on a third band, and it all had parity. And that was the problem, because, of course, in America, certainly since the Communications Act of 96, pricing very often was stick value. So the guy who paid a fortune for that, you know, mid-dial position FM didn't want to suddenly have parity with some AM at 1490. And there were ways to an extent to, you know, dampen it, to geofence some of it. But for the most part, it created AM-FM parity. And broadcasters here went ballistic, unfortunately. And so so for economic reasons, we don't have the system. So that's when Eibach came about. And I've never liked it. And of course, it stands for in-band on-channel, so that you could maintain your stick value that way. But of course, we both know it doesn't work on AM, period. especially at night.
Yeah, it doesn't. And the thing is that if they had done the Eureka system in DAB like you're talking,
yeah,
there wouldn't be this whole thing today with the electric cars or all the interference, and you know, you would have been able to get the signal.
Well, there are all sorts of benefits, but it would have been an economic holocaust because, you know, I mean, we're seeing that now anyway with all the bankruptcies. These entities overpaid to such a degree for these stations that they can't operate them. And, you know, we've talked about Odyssey. We've talked about Cumulus. Well, now it's SBS, which is sad. Raul Alarcon, the guy from Cuba who originally had 10Q in Los Angeles, when you read about him, they never mention 10Q, but he had bought that from Storer years ago and, you know, put Bertaluna on in the morning and all that. Well, anyway, it became ultimately by the 80s, SBS, and television was the big problem with SBS. And so they're the latest in bankruptcies. But yeah, if you pay more for things than you're going to get operating them at optimum conditions, it's not going to work.
Well, case in point, you look at BAL in Baltimore, which Hearst, those are the only two radio stations that they own, the AM and
right.
the FM. They
used to own Pittsburgh. Did they sell that?
Yeah, they sold that.
Okay.
But they kept, they wanted $250 million for the Baltimore stations, and you weren't going to get it.
No, Now, sadly, you know, in 1999, maybe they would have. That's what's wrong with the whole system. But they're not going to now.
Well, no, they were around 2000. I had heard the talk around here was they were up for sale, and the whole thing was up for sale, TV and radio.
Yeah,
and they weren't going to. Nobody
Right.
Nobody grabbed it.
Well, and it's a lot different now. It's crashing back to earth and, you know, getting the financing and also having the wisdom to walk away from deals that just economically do not work. A while in the feeding frenzy, people were. And of course, what was happening was that lenders were throwing money at people because if you buy a bunch of things, initially, the first couple of years, your balance sheet's going to look great, not because you made any money, but because you were able to so cut expenses. In other words, one traffic girl rather than 18 or whatever. You know, so initially it looks like, oh man, there, let's give them more money. Well, eventually you have to operate the puppies. And at that point, if you have a situation where you actually are sold out at top market value time and you still can't pay the debt, you know what's going to happen. And so that's where we are in some cases.
Well, Odyssey.
Well, yes, absolutely. And, you knew that was going to be disaster because, of course, they had those heritage AM radio stations, which they could operate, CBS could operate, because there was no debt service. But, you add the level of debt service on that and forget about it. And obviously they did. So we'll see what happens there. And, we're seeing a lot of them. But I was sad that Raul and his son, Raul is dead, but his son Raul is operating.
It really is.
Yeah. It is.
It really is. But,
it is.
I don't know. That's what I had. And I wanted to ask you about that because I knew you knew about that.
Well, here's...
Since we're doing our...
Here's what I'm gonna do because now I'm interested in this, and I'll report back. I'm curious what established country isn't using DAB, other than the United States. So I'll report back. We'll see what's going on.
All right.
Okay. Thanks. I appreciate it, Nick. Okay, bye.
Hey, thanks.
All right. So we're going to have, Marlo in Missouri. Ooh, Brazil 66. Sure, why not? Yeah, best one, like I'm saying, of that ilk for Sergio Mendes was the Equinox album. We also have Ken from Chicago that we'll talk about and Cindy from Chicago. Ooh, AI, scary stuff. So all that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Oh, well, I'm... Sitting here la la, waiting for my ya-ya. Oh, I'm sitting here la la, waiting for my ya-ya. Oh, it may sound funny, but I don't believe she's coming. Oh, baby, hurry, don't make me worry. Worry. You know that I love you, oh, how I love you. Sitting in la la, waiting for my ya-ya. Sitting in la la, waiting for my ya-ya. It may sound funny, but I don't believe she's coming.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, enjoying that just a little bit too much there. Yeah, as I continue to try and create an exception for the program so that I can see you, although I'll tell you what, John is doing a terrific job at letting me know who's where, and if we don't get to it this hour, remember we have another 2 hours of showtime. Wanted to say a little bit about Yeah Yeah. That was also Robert and LaGrange. That was 1961 on Fury, and Lee Dorsey wrote it, but if you look at the writer's credits, the label owner on Fury, Bobby Robinson, along with Moish Levy, credited, and that, of course, is all New York, or that was done in New Orleans, of course, at Cosimo Matassa's J&M, and Marshall Seahorn and Alan Toussaint produced it, and it was Lee Dorsey's biggest hit. So, all right, now, with that in mind, I've got about 45 seconds to talk to Marlo, and then we'll hold him till after the news. So, Marlo, welcome to WGN Radio. Are you with me? No, Marlo's not there. All right, well, we'll try and figure out where Marlo is, unless he hung up, which is also, I guess, a possibility. But yeah, Arcane, if you just tuned in, because Windows Update decided that I couldn't access my program. Now he says, okay. So we're here, Marlo, so we'll talk after the news, all right?
Okay.
Okay, good. Hang on. Don't go away. All right. And that's where we'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Buonasera, signorina, buonasera. It is time to say goodnight to Napoli. Though it's hard for us to whisper buonasera with that old moon above the Mediterranean Sea. In the morning, signorina, we'll go walking where the mountains help the sun come into sight. And by the little jewelry shop we'll stop and linger while I buy a wedding ring for your finger.
In the meantime, let me tell you that I love you.
Buonasera, signorina, kiss me goodnight. Buonasera, signorina, kiss me goodnight. But to let do that to the pot, bona bani bot, but do the bottle bot. Buonasera, signorina, buonasera. It is time to say goodnight to Napoli. Though it's hard for us to whisper, buonasera, with that old moon above the Mediterranean Sea. In the morning, signorina, we'll go walking where the mountains of the sun come into sight. And by the little jewelry shop we'll stop and linger.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And yes, of course, it's Louis Prima. Yes, prior to Keeley Smith. And Buonasera, you didn't write it, but it was on Capitol in 1956, and it actually came out on an EP that also had Jump, Jive, and Wail, which was the other request that Billy Bob had. He had both of them. So we'll play that next, and then in 57, Capitol recorded each on their own single, but it was originally an EP in 56. All right, so now with that in mind, we're talking to Marlo in Missouri about Brazil 66. So all right, Marlo.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I hear you fine. And yeah,
wonderful.
I fixed the problem during the news, thank God. So
you did. So how's your blood pressure then?
Oh, it'll still be terrible because it ticks me off so much that that I have to use Windows and that they do these things on these updates where you're completely caught off guard till you figure out what the hell did they do so you can undo it. Yeah.
That song was really cute. I've never heard that song before.
Buonasera. Yeah.
You reminded me about how much I used to like Sergio Mendez. And so I decided I would listen to some songs today, and because I had kind of a lot of time in the car or some time in the house, that kind of thing. So I thought, well, it's a good day to just piddle around with music. And I was listening to the 66 albums. And while I love the native language ones, as a matter of fact, my family's Portuguese, but from Portugal, not from Brazil. But my grandfather, you know, the Hispanic response to "Yes, dear" is "Sí, señora," and I can hear my grandfather say that just time and time again. But anyway, beside the point.
Yeah.
So I was going down the rabbit hole of Sergio Mendes, and I stumbled across One Note Samba, and I love that song.
Oh, sure.
It's so clever. I think it's such good lyrics. So I said, I'm going to do what Raleigh James does when she says, oh, yes, this song was also recorded by 4,712 other people. So I thought I would look that up. Do you know Amy Winehouse did a One Note Samba?
Yes, I do know that. Woman had great taste. She really did.
Yeah, absolutely. But then so did Frank Sinatra, who thought he could sing anything.
Right.
And so did Edie Gourmet. Now, they may be really good standard singers, but a little, not a lot of bossa nova in their bossa nova-ing. So that was kind of funny. But you know what it reminded me of? And this is embarrassing, but I can't see you, so I guess I can tell you.
You're right.
About 35 years ago, my children decided, I have very odd children, obviously, they decided I needed to learn a rap song.
Oh.
Now, that was back in the days when rap was clean and had actual lyrics that made sense.
Mm-hmm.
So they told me I needed to learn the song You Be Illin' by Run DMZ.
Okay.
Now, I don't remember much about the lyrics other than there's this one part that says, and I walked up to this fly girl and I said, hey, can I have this dance? Okay, so I would do this, and they would just laugh hysterically at me because I was so bad at the rapping part, and which was the whole song. So then when I was listening to Frank Sinatra and Edie Gourmet today, I thought, oh, my gosh, they're as bad at Bossa Nova as I was at Run DMC.
Yes, this is true.
Oh, my goodness. But anyway, I wanted to thank you for reminding me to go back through that. Oh, my, how delightful. And then, of course, I went to the Stan Getz things with, you know, Girl from Ipanema and whatnot. But what a delightful day. And it's all because you were talking about this stuff. And I really appreciate that.
Oh, you're so kind. Now, did you come across the original recording? Because even though Antonio Carlos Jobim wrote the music, he was not the first one to record it.
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, it was a...
I can't tell. See, I just have that app, Amazon or Apple Music or whatever on my phone. And so I looked up just the song, but I can't tell who recorded it first.
Well, it was originally on a João Gilberto album, and it was Samba de Uma Nota Só. And that, of course, was the way Newton Mendonca wrote the lyrics, and he did write the Portuguese lyrics. The guy who wrote the English lyrics was a guy named John Hendricks. But in 1960, João Gilberto recorded it on his O Amor album. And I'll play that for you so you can hear it, because it's in Portuguese, but that's the first time it was recorded. And usually with Antonio Carlos Jobim, he'll record it, but that was much later. And he did record it several times.
Yeah, I really, that music is just so, it's uplifting and it makes you smile, and I'm all about that.
Yeah,
so
no,
you did that for me, and I appreciate
that. my pleasure. Yeah, I just love the Bossa Nova, and of course, it was a period in time, just like doo-wop here and all that. I had a friend years ago who went to Brazil. He says, "There's no Bossa Nova." I said, "It's not 1964."
Right.
You know? So yeah, it existed really for a period of time, but it was just great stuff. And yeah, I'll play the original for you. And I'm so glad you called.
Well, I thank you very much, I'll call another time, but I do need clarification on doo-wop and R&B, and I did, when I was young, back in the olden days, I did a little bit of pop music, you know, the early Paul Anka stuff and whatnot, that kind of, that genre, but then I got into folk music because I was a war protester, you know, all that stuff back.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to college in this Bay Area. I graduated from high school in 67. So, yes, sex, drugs, and rock and roll were part of my existence. And so I got into all of the folk music, and I really kind of missed a lot of the doo-wop stuff, and I'm a little unsure about that. So
we'll talk about it. That was actually a bit earlier, and of course, doo-wop as a term didn't exist until 1970 anyway. So we can talk about that. Some of that folk stuff was interesting. I love some of the Phil Oak stuff. So yeah, all right.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll do it.
Well, thank you,
thanks,
dear. I'll
appreciate
look forward to hearing the Portuguese version.
All right, you will next. Hang on. Don't go away. Okay, bye.
Thanks, son. Bye-bye.
All right, so there we have it, and we're back in business. We have phone lines. Yeah, I tell you. And all I had to do was realize what Windows 11 did and go undo it. Yeah. Done. Yeah. Till next time. All right, so we'll get João Gilberto, Samba de Uma Nota Só, up next on WGN Radio.
Que este sambinha feito numa nota só, outras notas vão entrar, mas a base é uma só. Esta outra é consequência do que acabo de dizer. Como eu sou a consequência inevitável de você. Quanta gente existe por aí que fala tanto e não diz nada, ou quase nada. Já me utilizei de toda a escala, no final não sobrou nada. Não deu em nada e voltei pra minha nota. Como eu volto pra você, vou contar com a minha nota. Como eu gosto de você. E quem quer todas as notas, ré, mi, fá, sol, lá, si, dó, fica sempre sem nenhuma, fique numa nota só. Thank you. quem quer todas as notas, ré, mi, fá, sol, lá, si, dó. Fica sempre sem nenhuma, fique numa nota só.
There you have it. One note samba, or of course, samba de uma nota so. And I was mentioning that Newton Mendonca wrote it, and he wrote some of the early lyrics to Antonio Carlos Jobim's stuff. But sadly, he died probably not too long after he wrote that. Had a couple heart attacks. He was about 40, and that was it. But that was off the second album that João Gilberto had done, O Amor, O Cerezo e a Flor, on Odeon. And the first one, though, the one that came out in 59, oh, man, that was just the best. And it was the Chega de Saudade album. And Maria Ninguém was on that, which was absolutely my favorite João Gilberto song of all time. And I got a kick out of it many, many years ago when I read an interview with Jackie Kennedy, and she had cited it as her favorite song. And I just thought it was terrific.
Pode ser que haja uma melhor, pode ser. Pode ser que haja uma pior, muito bem. Mas igual a Maria que eu tenho no mundo inteirinho, igualzinha não tem. Maria ninguém. É Maria e é Maria, meu bem. Se eu não sou João de nada, Maria que é minha, é Maria ninguém. Maria ninguém. É Maria como as outras também. Só que tem que ainda é melhor do que muita Maria que há por aí. Marias tão frias, cheias de manias, Marias vazias pro nome que tem.
And even though I first heard about João Gilberto because it was on that first album, Chega de Saudade, it was written by Carlos Lyra, who did a number of things. But I always laugh when I see his name because I remember so well a story how every couple weeks or so, a bunch of the guys would get together for lunch, and Antonio Carlos Jobim and João Gilberto, and sometimes Marcus Valle, sometimes not, but Carlos Lyra. And I remember Carlos Lyra, they referred to him the communist, and he was very much a socialist. And I think he was actually a member of the Brazilian Communist Party, but they had a great time teasing him about that. So every time I see Carlos Lyra's name, I think, oh, it's the communist. Very well. In any event, Carlos gave us Maria Ninguém, and for that I will be forever grateful. All right, so now, all right, in order, I can't do it in order, actually, because I don't know how long it has been on, but I'm going to assume that Ken in Chicago shall be next. As I say, I brought up the program, but it doesn't give me any of the information that John typed previously to my starting the program at my end. So we're just going to hope that we say hi to Ken. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Dolly. How are you?
All right. How you been? Been a while.
Yeah, it is. It's raining here, and it's the temperature was 70, and it's just crazy. I like to dedicate a record and also request.
Okay.
A dedication to the Jumpin' Jack lady, Cindy in Chicago.
Okay.
Because I live in Chicago.
Okay.
And mainly because she likes a TV show my mom loved before she passed away. Was Miss Fisher's Murder Mystery.
Okay.
And the song is In Your Eyes by George Benson.
Okay.
All right. And the one song, this can be hard to find. I heard it on Don K. Reed's show. Oh, it might be 20 years.
Okay.
It's a black group. They're called Reality.
Uh-huh.
And they do 660 Minute Man a cappella.
You'll
love it.
Yes, absolutely. I'm aware of it.
Okay. You are.
Yeah, well, I used to listen to the Don K. Reed doo-wop, shop, shabop. Absolutely.
That's right. Somebody in New York, they recorded Don K. Reed live in the doo-wop shop.
Yeah.
Reality. When they do 60 Minute Man, their voices are great.
I don't know if
they recorded it.
Well, I think they did. I will look because I might have that on a cassette. All right. Thanks for calling. I'll definitely get In Your Eyes on.
Thanks.
Okay, appreciate it. Well, we'll find out what's going on in the world at large and then hit the news and then be back to it on WGN Radio.
I think I finally know you. can see beyond your smile. I think that I can show you that what we have is still worthwhile. Don't you know that love's just like the thread that keeps unraveling, but then it ties us back together in the end. In your eyes, I can see my dreams' reflections. In your eyes, found the answers to my questions. In your eyes, I can see the reasons why our love's alive. In your eyes, we're drifting safely back to shore. I think I finally learned to love you more. Life changes, and that no one really knows whether time would make us strangers or whether time would make us grow. Even though the winds of time will change in a world where nothing stays the same.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. There it is, 1983 on Warner Brothers, In Your Eyes, and that's from Ken to Cindy. All right, well, there you go. All right, speaking of which, we have Cindy, and she is online, too, with any luck. All right, so Cindy, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yes, I just want to say thank you to Ken for the song. I couldn't hear it all, so I'll probably go on YouTube and...
Okay.
But I wanted to talk about AI.
Okay.
But before I do that, her name is Rita in Harwood Heights, right?
Okay.
She's the one who needs air conditioning, right?
I don't know. Is that true?
Yeah, I think she's the one.
Okay.
You know what? If it's her, what she could do, she could. I know you got a whole system for but she could get a window air conditioner. I know, but that doesn't sound like much. But they're not the same, because I counseled my boyfriend when he was living to get a window air conditioner, and it was like $400. It air conditioned his whole large. He had a very large bungalow.
Okay.
And then air conditioning the upstairs, and then she could call Ace Hardware. I was thinking my cousin Mike and I could come to her house and put it in, but she could call Ace Hardware and ask for the handyman Manny.
All right.
And he'll put it in for her. I think my boyfriend paid like $400 for it. It's all high tech. Manny would show her how to use it. I mean, it's not like you just plug it in and turn the button. But anyway, I wanted to talk about AI.
The floor is yours. Go right ahead.
Well, I mean, I don't know. All I know about it is, I know they wanted to take over medical, like some kind of parts of medical and law and everything. And that just seems ridiculous to me. But I'm old school. It just seems ridiculous. And then pretty much I wanted to talk about Barron's Magazine. And I emailed Jack Hugh, I think that's how you pronounce his name. And, I told him, I thanked him the one time. I said, thank you for not writing about the war that we're in, and thanked him for not writing about AI. I can't stand, it's like all the business news, everything AI, like there's no other stocks but AI, and it's just awful. And then I think Randall Forsythe wrote an article in Barron's last week. And, I just don't even have the mind to read it. I can't even stand reading it. And I read this boring stuff, too, but then anyhow. There's something like some kind of new AI trading, whatever you call it, trading thing, whatever. It's called Crab something. crab meat or crab, and the guys installed your socks for you. And he said, well, I just want you to know about, you know, he's like, well, I know you don't, you know, he's like, I just want you to know about it. And all these people are using it, and it just seems beyond me. I mean, it just all passed me by. I can't. I mean, I just can't anymore even keep up with it. But the funny thing I want to tell you is, for my generation, you know, we were educated, you know, my mother probably would be about the same age as your mother was over, my mother was, you know, she would be over 100 now. But then my parents had children later in life, and I was 41 when my father was born, my father was 41 when I was born.
Yes.
But anyhow, for my mother's generation, if we had her do something simple, oh, can you do this? You know, for her generation, she would just say, I don't know how to do it. And everyone would go crazy and run around like a chicken with their head cut off and do everything for her.
All right,
but
then.
But for my generation, if I would just even dare say I don't know how to do something, if I could do the men's work and the woman's work and everything, if I would just dare say I don't know how to do something, everyone just would beat me up and make me do it. I mean, I don't know what that was.
You were surrounded by the wrong people.
I can't. And then the one time at the library, you know, I had trouble signing on to the computer because I have a tablet and had to use the computer to print a label to return something for Amazon because I don't have a printer. And I didn't remember how to do it. And the librarian said, you have to learn. And I'm like, because your mother, you know, and I never really speak up and talk back to people like that, but I just said to him real mean, I said, does your mother have to learn?
All right, then.
I don't know what's going to happen with AI. I just...
Neither does anyone else.
It's just for another generation going forward. It's just not for me. And the one thing I'm looking forward to is my chandelier for the dining room is coming tomorrow.
Oh,
at the house, and we have a chandelier, and I don't like the lights that are
what
here.
Could possibly go wrong in getting that installed? I can't wait to hear this story.
You know, my cousin's an electrical engineer. He'll put it in.
All right. Very good.
And my boyfriend puts it, and then I'm making, well, like, if you go to the Sicilian Bakery across town, you would pay, like, $50 for a box of Italian butter cookies. And I thought to myself, I'm gonna look up, I found a butter cookie recipe, and I got a pastry tube, and I'm just going to make them myself, with, you know, and I'm really excited about that, and I'm going to paint the dining room and the kitchen in the fall, and just a lot of things to look forward to since my boyfriend's gone. I'm moving on.
All right. Well, there you go. That stream of consciousness. You certainly covered enough topics in a few minutes. I have plenty from which to choose. Can't wait to hear about the chandelier. Keep me posted.
All right.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I can only imagine. All right, no matter who's helping her. All right, so we'll pick it up there right after this, and I catch my breath on WGN Radio.
I wouldn't help it even if I could get help it if I wanted to. Would help it, no. Thank you.
WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. I started it in the middle so you could hear some of Torquato Mariano's guitar work. Torquato Mariano Martinez was his name. He was born in 1963, so a little late on the Brazilian end, and Buenos Aires, actually. He moved to Brazil in 1977, been a permanent resident ever since, and that was his first album, and I call it Paradise Station. That's not what it was on Visum Digital in 1991, but I couldn't pronounce it if you saved my soul. So that was Eduardo's request, though. And I'm curious as to where he heard it. So, Eduardo, welcome back to WGN Radio. What made you aware of that?
Oh, well, that's one of the songs I think I heard on that 365.
Okay.
With Scott Adams.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I caught that.
Okay. Well, yeah, that was it. That was his first album. And it was, like I say, originally released on Visum, and then they released it in English to Paradise Station, though the songs were the same.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I was going to bring up, actually, CBS Sunday Morning brought up this lady who lives with her husband in Chandler, Arizona, 3,000 rent. And the place, that house, if she were to buy it, would be $600,000.
It's actually on the cheap side.
Yeah, and I said this was $50,000 for a new car, $3,000 to raise a child. I mean, they threw a lot of numbers here. They say 39%, their sons and daughters live with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
So it's half can't pay a credit card. So, but they did mention Topeka, Kansas, where obviously, you can find a 179, and they had like some credit, like $15,000 to move over there.
Right.
They were showing this guy that was singing in a commercial just to get people over there to go over there to move.
Right. At the moment, the cheapest housing, if we're just looking at the housing cost, is probably Cleveland, mm-hmm. Ohio. But
okay.
it varies widely, but there are some great deals if you can go there and if it makes sense. But, you know, Chandler is not the, by far, not the priciest suburb in the Phoenix metro. I mean, Scottsdale, you're looking at $1 million for a home for the most part. And, you know, as far as rent, $3,000, that's an average. And I agree with you that it's crazy time, but it is exactly where we are.
Yeah.
So I don't have the answer. And of course, there, you know, Miami, where Brian, actually, I believe he's in Broward County, but in the Miami area, their housing is just completely out of sight now. When I lived there in the 60s, we always used to complain bitterly because I always said, I got southern wages and a northern cost of living, you know, in Bell Harbor where I lived. And that was largely true, but the prices were not like this. I mean, it's gotten out of hand. And you mentioned credit card debt, and that's the scary part, because many people are using credit cards not for those luxuries that they can't afford, but for those necessities that they must have. And so, you know, bigger minds than me will solve this, but I see it as an economic nightmare down the road.
Right. I was going to ask you, what do you think about, like, these New Yorkers and Californians that move to places in the South? Are they making things worse?
No, I understand what you're saying. I mean, to an extent, like, actually, if you're talking about the Miami prices, you have to look at all the South Americans who have a place there, too. I mean, certainly, you've got a certain amount of influx that way. But no, the reality is that the prices virtually everywhere have not kept up with wages. And, you know, I don't want to talk about it too long because it's on the verge of being a serious topic. But if you look at where wages are compared to where prices are, does not compute. And, you know, we'll see. And as, you know, Cindy and her fears of AI, as AI continues along with robotics to displace people, we don't need full employment. Well, if you don't need full employment, then what is your system based on? And if you're having people who are having to use credit cards for the necessities of life, where does that lead? And like I say, I'm glad I'm old. That's about all I can tell you. I'll be gone before it all hits the fan, but it will.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the deal. Yeah, I wish I had an answer. If anybody could solve that, because on a serious note, there's probably somebody there with a lot more insight and intellect than I've got. But it doesn't matter what system of economics you're talking about, communism, socialism, capitalism, doesn't matter. They're all based on a form of full employment. Well, if you no longer need that, and you've termed the rest of us useless eaters, so to speak, how do you do this? And somebody will have to come up with that, because it can't be avoided forever. So, on that note, tell me, how have you heard back on the employment?
No, not yet, but I did follow up on Monday, and I had to leave a message. I wasn't able to get through with the lady that interviewed me, but there's supposed to be somebody else that interviews me, because they're supposed to be doing follow-up interviews. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens with that.
And, you know, that sector, healthcare, that's one that they won't be able to completely AI or outsource. I mean, there's going to have to be human bodies involved in this.
Oh, sure.
And,
yeah.
And I don't understand it, Eduardo. You're my biggest conundrum when I think about it, because, you know, when you move to the Tampa area and here you are fully bilingual and you've got experience, I thought you would have a job in a picosecond. I thought you would have your choice of jobs, and to come away with nothing. This makes no sense.
But it's been in the news, Raleigh, that a lot of these people, particularly Gen X, because I'm Gen X, or, you know, even boomers and all that, you know, will have a hard time staying in the labor force. And now you have to know more about the AI and technology, which I'm not even a fan of.
Well, and the things you're applying for, fortunately, they don't directly affect you.
Yeah.
But and I understand that. But what I'm saying is, given your background and your bilingualness in South Florida, I would think that you would be the top of the heap. So there's a story here that I wish I knew, because something is going wrong here that shouldn't be.
Yeah, there'll be positions that
I can't wait to hear about it. So keep me posted.
In the meantime, I'm doing temp assignments, so that keeps me busy. So
absolutely. And you've just ended the hour, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Raleigh.
All right, good
deal.
We'll
talk later.
All right, so we'll have Brian. We'll have Stan. Oh, and Dearborn, that's always fun. Ralph in Rockford, Chris in Greenwood, next hour on WGN Radio.
Baby, baby, it looks like it's gonna hail. Looks like it's gonna hail. You better come inside, let me teach you how to jive and wheel. Oh, you gotta jump and jive and then you will, you gotta jump and jive and then you will, you gotta jump and jive and then you will, you gotta jump and jive and then you will, you gotta jump and jive and then you will, you will. In the icebox looking for a can of ale. Papa's in the icebox looking for a can of ale. Mama's in the backyard learning how to jive and wheel. Oh, you gotta jump jiving, then you will, 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 you gotta jump jiving, then you will.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there it is. That was the other Billy Bob request for Louis Prima, Jump, Jive, and Whale, 1956. And as I was saying, that was originally an EP on Capitol with Bonacera being on it as well. And then they were released individually a year later. And, of course, the Midnighters had a similarly titled song. I always think about it. Not the same song, though. Jump, Jive, and Harmonize. Yeah, a fine Willie G song. All right, so Brian is a first-time caller, and he is in Decatur, and he says he has advice for Eduardo. So, Brian, what you got going on?
Hey, Raleigh. Yeah, I'm here in Decatur, Illinois. I work for AutoZone here in Decatur, and I know he's in Florida.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's tried to apply in there, but I know they're always looking for bilingual here in my city.
Interesting.
And, you know, they pay a little bit extra for having the bilingual.
Interesting.
Status there, and you know, he started out probably part-time, and you can work their way up into, you know, I've been with AutoZone for almost 16 years now, and I'm a full-time manager.
All right. I just bought a nice battery at AutoZone, actually, for the Z28. It was a very nice battery. Sent me back $350 bucks. It better be a nice battery. No, it is.
So. Yeah. Those Duralasts are real good batteries.
Yeah. So that's the deal. But that's a good suggestion. I know he's been kind of concentrating on healthcare, but you know, he could have a heck of a career at something like AutoZone. I like it. Thank you so much. I'm just so glad you called, and I hope you're going to do it again.
Well, I've been listening to you ever since you started with WGN.
All right.
And I've been always thinking, you know, kicking myself. You need to call.
Yes.
On trivia night, because I know some of those answers, and I'm like,
Right. Right. You absolutely should. I'm going to look forward to hearing from you again. Thank you, Brian.
Hey, no problem. You guys have a good night, and in Chicago, stay safe.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Thanks. I just cringed when I was hearing the news with David Jennings, and he was saying they weren't sure whether it was a tornado or a hurricane at the airport. I'm like, oh, no, that doesn't sound like a good combination. Stan is in Dearborn. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
Hey, Stan.
Hey, I heard you and Nick talking about carts.
Yeah.
And I've had about 20, 25 left over here from the station, and I was comparing them to after I had my in-car record player.
Yes.
I had a four-track in-car tape player.
Yes, that was Lear. Lear had that first four-track, yes, and then it became the 8-track later, yes.
And they look just like these carts.
Similar, slightly different shape, but and definitely different technology. You know, it's funny because, of course, Lear was the one who introduced that technology, and of course, he was famous for making jets. And I thought to myself, the concept of a movable head is ridiculous. I'd hate to think what he's doing in aviation. Yeah, and of course, that was the downfall in many ways too. Is that you know, they didn't stay aligned very well. But more to the point, in the middle of the song, they would have the habit of fading it down, jumping to the next track, fading it up. I'm like, for God's sakes, you should have just gone through it and let it click.
Yeah, you know, I had it in the console of my car.
Yes.
And it was hidden real nice and everything. But you had to open the console, pull the one lever,
right,
click the other one.
Right.
I had two levers on it, lock it in, then do the lever play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that was styling and profiling, because not many people were like us who had turntables in the car.
Yeah, I liked the record player a lot better. I thought that four-track, then when the 8-tracks came out, it was easier, but they had all that clicking in between songs.
Oh, did they ever? Yes. And like I say, that I don't know who came up with the idea that on the pre-recorded ones, they'd fade it down, hear the click, fade it back up. It would have been much better if they just let the click happen.
Yeah.
But nobody asked you. But they sold very well for a number of years. In some ways, I liked them better than cassettes, only because I couldn't lose them in the car. They were big enough that I could find them. You know, those cassettes, they'd disappear somewhere. You know, I'd be days before I saw it again. Yes.
So you guys were talking about a couple different kind of carts. And,
yeah.
These that I have, it says Scotch Cart 2.
Okay.
And it's a MAD type AA.
Okay.
NA, NAB type.
Okay.
AA.
Right. NAB, for the standards of it. But yeah, a lot of tape. And, you know, believe it or not, I still have blank 8-tracks from Radio Shack, realistic. They're wrapped and everything.
Oh, wow.
You know, just in case it comes back.
No, I don't know if I could ever play these carts on anything other than a cart machine, which they don't have anymore. But I imagine
tape
out and put it on reel-to-reel.
Well, not really. It depends on what type of a reel-to-reel you have. You know, with quarter track, I don't think so, and definitely not with half or full track. That's the problem, is where on the track is it recorded? So I don't think you could. But you can still get cart machines on eBay. And
really?
Oh, I'm sure. Because before I made a recent move, I dumped like 24 of them. You know, it's just like, heck, what am I going to do with this many cart machines? And I kept a couple. But I would assume, I'm going to look right now while we're speaking so I can find out if that's true. But I bet it is. Let's see.
It's interesting. A couple of that I pulled out of the cabinet that I have here. One's of Jimmy Merchant.
Okay.
And another one is Vessie Simmons of the Ribbons.
Mm. Oh, by the way, here's a BE, and it's only $125. Now, they want $40 delivery. What's nice about that, it was a pretty nice machine, but the big thing is it probably has the wiring harness, which is missing from a lot of them. So yeah, that doesn't set you back much at all. All right, but yes, the pre-records were virtually everything.
Yeah, these I have are mostly, you know, just 60-second fill and drop-ins, you know.
Yeah.
Promos and...
oh yeah, well that
radio station.
Right. Yeah. That's it. I still have jingles on carts and stuff, but the best thing to do is go ahead and get a machine that will play it, and then put it on a reel to reel, or at this point, capture it on something digital, and then you don't have to be beholden to the carts in the future. But
yeah,
there's a lot of them on eBay. Here's a nice Denon, and that's only $36 plus $8 delivery. I might have to have that. So,
yeah. Now these the originals were on. I have on a cassette,
right?
And so I transfer that to these carts, so that they would be, you know, easy play.
Now, do you still have the cassettes?
Yeah.
Then you could easily transfer that to a digital file with no problem.
Yeah, that's of course.
Yeah.
But when I took a look at these, when you guys were talking, I said, yeah, I remember these carts. I got a bunch of them here. I grabbed a couple of them and I looked. I said, these look like, you know, and I always thought that they looked like four-track tapes.
Yeah, or 8-tracks. Yes, they do look a lot like it, but of course, different technology entirely in terms of how they work. But yes, they were wonderful, and I worked at more than a few radio stations where half of the music was on cart, but half was still on vinyl, you know, in the late 60s, in the early days of we're going to transfer over. And what they would do when you were doing the rotation, this is before they were drawing hot clocks, usually it would be a box of 45. And you'd pick one in the front and put it in the back. And I remember every time I was going to be on cart, they would put in there a rotation slug. And a rotation slug was usually some record they were never going to play. And they, you know, they put tape labels all over it so you wouldn't play it. Well, of course, I had nothing to do, and I would take the tape labels off and find out what the hell aren't they giving us, that stuff. And that's the way I found This Love, you know, the Joy Tones and Love Potion. I'll never forget it. It was a rotation slug. I'm like, this is a damn good record.
Yeah.
So I made it a point then to unmask all the rotation slugs, and most weren't worth it, but occasionally it would be something like that where I'd say, damn, they should be playing this.
Yeah. And talking, what you're speaking about, Mind Over Matter, when you play that by the Pirates.
Yeah, the Pirates. Can you believe that? I mean, Berry Gordy was just absolutely blind with rage that they couldn't sign Nolan Strong. He just wanted that badly, and it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, early Motown and Fortune, that was a big battle in Detroit.
Oh, yeah, but especially because Smokey Robinson so idolized Nolan Strong. In fact, he even once said, if I could sing, I'd be Nolan Strong. And, you know, and of course, he and Barry were tight, and so Barry, of course, figured, well, I'll just wrap him up. Well, it didn't turn out to be so easy. So, yeah.
Yeah. And the flip side is I'll Love You Till I Die. And that's a pretty good tune, too. It was written by Clarence Paul.
Yes, it was. And he produced that, of course.
Yeah, he produced both of these.
Yes, precisely.
On Melody, that's pretty good. Pretty good two-sided hit.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it was a hit or not. It was a hit, in my opinion.
Right. Well, exactly. I don't think that it charted on any level, but he certainly tried to get it out there. And I think Nolan Strong's version would have been much stronger if Fortune really had distribution, which they didn't.
That's true.
You know, that's what killed so many great little labels. If they didn't have the distribution to have a simultaneous hit in all the markets, they weren't going to get on the national charts to any degree.
And that's like Bacon Fat by Andre Williams. They had to put it out on, was that Epic?
Yeah, I loved Bacon Fat. I thought that was a great record. Well, there were so many Andre Williams that were Jailbait especially.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 15, 16. Yeah, right, exactly.
Please pass the biscuits.
You're right. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Please, please, please. Yeah, absolutely.
They're all gone.
Yeah, right. I thought he was so good. And talk about underrated. He was just wonderful. But from what I understand, he was a little difficult to work with.
Oh, yeah, that's what I heard, too.
Yeah, right, and, exactly. But, yeah, Bacon Fat, Just Because of a Kiss was on the other side.
Right, good tune.
Yes, yes.
And yeah, he had kind of an interconnection there with Chicago and Detroit.
Yes.
He did a lot of Chicago stuff and a lot of Detroit stuff. And I think at one time, wasn't he with the, I'm trying to think of the group he was with in Chicago.
He was with a couple, because he came out of the service and wound up in Chicago. There was some deal about that, and and then for a while he was on Norton out of New York, and I think those were all reissues. I'm pretty sure those were all reissues. But Norton had some actually good reissues. But yeah,
Andre did a lot for Wonderful and Wonderful Records, didn't he? He was kind of a music advisor or something for Wonderful and.
Well, maybe. See, what I remember about him early on, I remember him in the mid 50s on Fortune. And he was on Fortune, and from there, he wound up on Checker. And then there was one release on Riktik in 67. But there were like a dozen on Chess Checker.
And I think he's got one on Tamla, too.
Really? Okay.
Rosalie, I think it is.
Okay. And, you know, later, a lot of stuff came out that I think was probably recorded earlier, like Signify and Monkey and stuff like that. And there was one thing on Volt, but again, it was 1990. Well, you know, it wasn't recorded in 1990. It was interesting. One of the things Norton re-released was Andre Mr. Rhythms Williams with the Eldorados. And I thought, wow, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty good. But, there were a lot of that. But I thought he was terrific.
Yeah, he was a showman, that's for sure.
Yes, yes, yes. And too bad he was his own worst enemy. Yeah, if he had been a little more professional, shall we say.
Yeah.
But even so, Jailbait. Oh, man, I got to play that. That's just too good. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, all right. It is always wonderful to hear from you. Thank you.
Yeah, good talk to you. Have a great show.
Okay, thanks. Okay, bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
So we'll get to Brian in Miami. Brian with a Y in Miami. Ralph in Rockford. All right, Chris in Greenwood, Mike in Elmwood Park, and hopefully you too on WGN Radio.
I'm running. Yes, before it's too late. Trying to get away from that jailbait. It's a rough temptation, but a common invitation and a good association, but a quick elimination that will take you out of circulation. Yes, I'm talking about that younger generation. So take my advice, fellas, for goodness sake. 15, 16, 17, that's jailbait. Now they swear that they're in love, that you and her are by stars above, and she's looking mighty good, just like a young girl should. We try to tell you no, and let that young girl go, but you know it all. You have yourself a ball, and now that it is too late, as you look from cell number 8, I tried to tell your mate. Seventeen and a half is still jailbait.
You just gotta love
it. So tomorrow's the day.
All right, yes, and that was 1956. Takes on more meaning these days, considering what's usually in the news. All right, WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That, of course, is Andre Williams in his finest, Jailbait 1956 on Fortune, of course. And yes, he wrote it. Who else would? All right, after the news, we'll get to Brian with a Y and Miami with an I right here on WGN Radio.
One, two, three, five!
John made me play it. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, every time I play Jailbait, John says, you gotta play, I saw her standing there, she was just 17, you know what I mean? Yes, well, 17 and a half is Jailbait in the good old US of A, but in Great Britain, it's 16. So when they were singing, she was just 17, that's okay. Most European countries, the age of consent is 15 or 16, but there's several that is 14. Albania, Austria, Hungary, Italy, Serbia, Germany, Montenegro, and Portugal are all 14. Germany, however, like the United States, somehow that's not a surprise. 18. All right, so there you have it. But 17 in most places. And as far as Canada, as you know, that's 16. So now, what gets interesting is that it's 16, yeah, but if the partner is older and is in a position of authority over the 16-year-old, now that's a no-no. So that's the deal. In case you were wondering, I just thought... Andre Williams was terrific regardless. All right, so we'll go to Brian with a Y in Miami with two I's. Welcome to WGN Radio. What's going on, Brian?
Well, radioactive Brian with a Y, of course. Thank you for noting that it's got a Y in there.
Oh, yes.
And there's actually two I's in Miami,
yes,
but that probably wouldn't have flowed out of the tongue quite as marvelously as all of your lines do. But all I can say is chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom, don't I just love it, making air with Raleigh James on WGN at 720 kilohertz, I mean to say. And I've got a question for you about kilohertz that I'm certain you'll be able to answer readily. But first, I want to celebrate your explication, as elegant as it was, of the Rolling Stones logo. I didn't know a couple of those details, and I was glad to hear them.
Yeah.
And I had noted that you didn't, or at least I didn't hear you, apply the term that is universally applied to that. It's called the lolling tongue.
Yes.
Three L's in lolling, by the way. I'm sure you knew that.
Yes.
And I guess you also know that it's said, but disputed, that Mick Jagger himself came up with the term. Have you heard that, and do you know if that's true?
Have no idea. Not
well,
a fan.
It's said to be.
Not a fan.
But I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this, Raleigh.
Yeah.
If indeed Mick Jagger did come up with that term, it's the only time pretty much in the last 65 or so years that Mick Jagger was a cooler dude than Keith Richards. I'm not a big fan of, I'm a huge fan of the Rolling Stones, but I am not a fan particularly of the antics that Mr. Jagger puts forth for the audience, or even in the studio sometimes. But Keith Richards is the coolest guy in show business, with maybe the exception of Jack Nicholson and Dylan. And the three of them were backstage. I don't know if you knew this. The three of them were backstage and photographed backstage at Live Aid together.
Hmm.
Nicholson, Richards, and Dylan. Did you know that?
I have seen that, yes.
Yeah, it's a great picture. Well, anyway, the question about kilohertz. As you well know, over on the FM band, there is an FM band, but like you, I'm a AM kind of guy, just like you're an AM kind of girl, but woman, excuse me, lady, of course. But over on the FM band there, they say megahertz, and of course, for good reason. Actually, I don't know if they ever said megacycles, but they used to say on the AM band kilocycles, and then they decided to honor, quite rightfully, Heinrich Hertz, one of the greatest German scientist, he's right up there with Max Planck, because he applied the Maxwell equations to electromagnetic, well, of course they were about electromagnetic radiation, but he connected that with the speed of light and all the rest, and the next thing you know, Einstein's working out the special theory of relativity about 20 years later. And my question about the kilohertz versus megahertz thing is, again, my dad used to say kilocycles. But,
well, yeah, it changed in 1960. That's when weights and
rightfully so.
Weights
no
and
problem
measures, yeah.
Honoring Hertz. He was a giant of physics history. My question, though, has to do with the abbreviation. The abbreviation for megahertz, quite reasonably, is capital M, lowercase h, lowercase z. Whereas on the AM side, the abbreviation, universally applied, somewhere it's set in stone that the AM side is abbreviated lowercase k,
yeah,
capital H,
right,
lowercase z. Can you explain that glaring inconsistency?
Yeah, absolutely. I can explain it when you get down to government bureaucracy. That shift was made, and the weights and measures decided what it would be. Why? Well, come on. These are bureaucrats. It could be absolutely anything, couldn't it?
I suppose. Well, a good answer, if only a partial one, but that's okay. I would. I'm going to score you correct on that because I didn't have a clue. Thank you for that, and I'm sure the WGN audience is hugely benefited by that piece of information, which is pretty obscure. Speaking of chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom, you play a lot of requests on this program, and people love you for it, and rightfully so. So here's a request. I specifically request you to never play Chick-a-Boom, Chick-a-Boom, Don't You Just Love
Daddy Doodrop. Yeah, there'll be no Daddy Doodrop.
By the way, do you know, I have read a couple times that Daddy Doodrop was originally the name of the band and only became associated with, what's his name, Chuck Mondo or something like that, Mondo or something. He only took it as a stage name after the song became a hit. Can you shed any light on that thoroughly inconsequential question?
No, let me go back to kilocycles for a moment here, because
Oh, sure.
I think in thinking about that, I know your answer, and it has nothing to do with the little k. It has everything to do with the capital M. And my guess is that when they were having this discussion in their governmental ease, as they always do. Remember, lowercase m is used for milli. So they were afraid that people would see it as millihertz rather than megahertz. I'm guessing.
Well, then you get a completely correct answer. A+, Raleigh James.
Well, if that's it, you know, I might be imbibing them with more intelligence than they in fact deserve. But that's my guess, is that they didn't want to confuse mega with milla, because little m is acceptable for milla.
Right. I got a couple more things for you. You can flip a coin. You take your pick. I can either. Well, we talked about Roy Hamilton last week, but that was Roy Hamilton Sr. I happen to have worked with Roy Hamilton Jr.
Oh, from the
on,
second marriage.
Radio, if you,
yeah, from the second marriage. Roy Jr. was from his second marriage. He had 5 kids from the first marriage and then 2 kids from the second marriage, including Roy Jr.
I should have checked the family tree. Thanks. So Roy to Hamilton Jr., we can chat about that. Or the late Sid Croft, who I actually indirectly worked for. And then I got one quick thing for you about the craters on the moon, on the far side of the moon. But flip your coin. No, which you want to hear? Roy Hamilton Jr.
Well,
or Sid Croft?
Yeah, Sid and Marty Croft were interesting creators. They were Canadian. But how did you wind up working with Sid?
Well, for years, for 3 summers, I worked in St. Louis. I grew up in suburban St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked at Six Flags after my freshman, junior, and freshman, sophomore, and junior years of college.
Okay.
Came back from Boston University, worked at Six Flags. First year, telling jokes on the riverboat ride, which I thought was a pretty lame gig until I read that Steve Martin and Ron Ziegler, Nixon's press secretary, both had the same the same job at Disneyland.
Okay.
So I learned to work a crowd there. That was the first summer. The next summer, I was in a Sid and Marty Krofft costume walking around with a keeper, a cute blonde chick or a brunette. There was never any unattractive keepers. They were all lovely young ladies who would hold my hand as I walked around the park and entertain people. It's Mr. Big, the giant character from Lidsville, one of the many, many, many Sid and Marty Krofft productions on Saturday morning and other places, Broadway and everywhere else. Well, anyway, that was the second summer, and then that led to my they struck a deal with an outfit in New York that I was being paid through to stage a puppet show my third summer. This is the summer of 76.
Well, that's what he did. That's certainly what Sid, that's certainly what Sid did. He was a puppeteer.
Oh, yeah, and I did it for precisely 694 shows, 10 shows a day, 6 days a week, the summer of 76. And it was a pretty tricky gig because you're climbing around in the gangways and what have you, but that was my one foray into puppeteering work, and it was a fun gig, and it paid very well. And though I never met Sid, who was 10 years older than, or thereabouts, than Marty, I spent 90 minutes alone with Marty Krofft, but not at Six Flags Over Mid-America. This was a few weeks earlier. I was in Dallas-Fort Worth catching a gig on the Southern Rolling Thunder Tour that Dylan was staging with Baez and all those cats and felines.
By the way, let me interrupt you and say, you know Sid Krofft died about 4 days ago.
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up.
Okay, yeah,
course.
It was 96.
It's an obituary.
It was 96.
Well, anyway, but I didn't know. I never met Marty Krofft or Sid Krofft, but I certainly spent 90 minutes alone with Marty Krofft and got to know him quite well in anticipation of working for him up in St. Louis that summer. And, again, this was at Six Flags Over Texas, the first Six Flags park. And I hope I didn't scare him away. He didn't. He could have fired me on the spot, but he was a very engaging fellow, as you would expect, given the wide range of work that that they produced over decades. So let's hear it for the Krofft brothers.
Yeah, and
they
Marty.
No more, but their work.
Marty, you're right. Marty, you're right. Was about a decade younger thereabouts, and he died two or three years ago.
I know. If I would have been on your show two or three years ago, I would have done a tribute to him that night or morning, as the case may
kidney
be.
Failure.
Last point.
Yes.
Last point about the craters on the moon.
Okay.
I don't know if you caught this. There was one of these lefty ranting women on TikTok, or I don't do social media, so I don't know if it was TikTok or YouTube or where, but she was complaining about the captain or the commander of the Artemis II crew there naming that crater on the far side of the moon, often misdescribed as the dark side of the moon. It's the far side of the moon, and now there's a crater by the name of what? Carol Taylor Wiseman. And that's because Reed Wiseman was the commander, and I thought that was a wonderful thing, but this woman is all upset, and she's incredibly foul-mouthed. I won't repeat any of the words. I don't use any of the words she was using to complain about the fact. She says, look, there's 8 billion people on this planet, and one person gets she was just ranting and raving on TikTok. I can give you, or whatever it was, I can tell you her name. It's Elizabeth Rose Halligan. Good Irish name. Well, anyway, here's the point. She's complaining because 8 billion people on the planet don't get craters named after them, and this one woman, this late woman, and I'm so sorry he lost his bride, but now she's got a crater in memorial on the far side of the moon. Good for the captain or the commander, and good for NASA, and shame on this woman for making a big deal about it, because what she doesn't know is, I looked up these numbers. I've known for many years, Raleigh, that I read 35 years ago that there were approximately, or at least 6 trillion, that is 6 trillion craters on the moon. And it turns out that there are actually a half a billion craters, that is 500 million craters, that are larger, that are at least 30 feet, 10 meters. And if you count the ones that are the size of a Frisbee, it's in the trillions. And she's complaining about one crater named in honor of a woman who meant the world to the man who just traveled around the world and then around the moon, or at least on, they looped the moon. They didn't orbit, but they are heroes, and this woman should be banned from the internet, but of course we can't do that in a free society. But we can call talk radio, and that's why I'm thrilled to make air with Raleigh James. You're a darling of the airwaves, and I hope you broadcast for the next 100 years.
Oh, God, I don't, but thank you. That's very kind of you. And yes, I'm not sure why she's so upset, because have you seen craters? They're not the most attractive things, and there are many, and just like they have those companies that name stars after you that aren't real anyway, she can start one naming craters after people. So
I know. Well,
opportunity.
I got one better for you there, Ms. James. I happen to have I not only have a quite sizable globe of the Earth, I've got a much smaller globe, and it lights up. It's illuminated, globe of the moon. And
nice.
I am going to inscribe Raleigh James
I get
on
a crater?
One of the craters on the far side of the moon, and I'm going to make sure it's not the crater that Ms. Wiseman, the late Ms. Wiseman,
yes,
is now associated
that's
with.
That's very kind. I'll be honored to have a crater. Thank you for calling. It's always good to hear
you
from
betcha.
You, Brian, with a Y. Talk to you soon. All right, Brian's got more energy than I'm ever going to have. I always have to kind of sit down and calm myself, and then we'll get to Ralph in Rockford. And you too, maybe if we have time, but if we don't, we have tomorrow on WGN Radio. WGN Radio will forego the bumper, as we don't have a lot of time. I would discuss craters. By the way, naming them goes back to the 1600s when the Jesuits were doing. Maybe the woman opposed to the idea will take them into consideration too. Ralph in Rockford, welcome to WGN Radio. How are you, Ralph?
Yes, hello. Hello, Raleigh.
Yes, what's happening?
The storm is gone, fortunately.
Good, good. So Rockford has weathered the storm. Excellent news.
Yeah, right. And now it's over the lake.
All right.
No, I just wanted to say the same thing that everybody thinks, because you mentioned you might be gone, you know, and I definitely hope that you will not be gone when the fan is hit.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, who knows when that'll be.
Well, please also keep in mind that the age record of the Western world stands at 120.
That's not going to be me. Nope.
Well, you never know. It's that was a lady from Arles, and Arles is, I think, pretty close to southern France down there. And believe it or not, she remembered selling crayons to Vincent van Gogh.
Huh, wow.
So, and yesterday I was happy to hear on the radio there was a very proud daughter of her father that told us that her dad had just turned 107.
It happens. I'm not hopeful for any of that. No desire.
So I hope that, I know you mentioned that often, but so I hope you have something like a generation yet to go.
Oh, well, I guess we'll see. Now, so what else is on your mind?
Oh, yeah, well, I just had a wish, and I would wish that more women would do charts, and because especially you yourself, you are the best and most shining example that the female brain apparently is much more prolific than the male brain. So
you know, I'll tell you, when it comes to charts, I think it's more a function of age than gender. When you're a kid, and especially when you've got nothing else you can do, you're not old enough to drive, your parents won't let you out late at night, there's nothing to do but listen to the top 40 disc jockey in 1961 or whatever year it is. Those records are on your brain forever.
All right. Well, once you are there here, I just had a couple of questions here about music, and I'm a little bit. I'm sure you can clear it up. We got only 3 minutes, but I'll hurry as much as I can. That was just the ya-ya.
Yeah.
You know, that was what you played, and then a year later, I remember that Petula Clark had a. It was Yaya Twist.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Yeah. So what was that the same Yaya or was it?
Well, probably. as far as that goes. Yaya by Lee Dorsey was inspired by a nursery rhyme. And so that's where that came from. And
I know that was and then there's another musician that's on my mind here, and that's Joey D and the Starliners.
Right. Sure.
And he had he claims he invented the he wrote the peppermint twist, which is apparently.
Yeah, but remember, that's because the peppermint twist is after the Peppermint Lounge, where he was sort of the house band.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, he was the performing.
Yeah, the house band there. The Peppermint Lounge was huge, you know, like 62, 60, 61. You would see, like Jackie Kennedy doing the twist and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And of course, no surprise, it was on roulette. Do you think more? Schlievy had a hand in that? Oh, gee, I don't know. Yeah, okay.
Okay, and then one more question here. I'm a little bit, I'd like to know a little bit more. You have mentioned several times Katharina Valenti.
Yeah.
And she was, I was just a boy, but she was a big star in Germany.
Yes.
And that surprised me. And then she had the... She had one twist song there that was called the Popo Catepeter Twist.
Mm-hmm.
And the Popo Catepeter, as far as I know, is the biggest volcano in Mexico, in Mexico City.
All right.
That's what I believe. Yeah, and the Germans had a little problem with that name because Popo in German means behind.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely it does, yes.
Yeah, so the Popo cut the fatal twist. Of course, nobody wanted to do the twist from behind, you know. So it was, it was okay. But was she, I was just wondering, you probably know this, was she Spanish or was she Mexican, Katharina Valenti?
Oh, no. By the way, that Pet Clark record I want to mention, you mentioned it, it was out virtually the same time as Johnny Halliday, who was like the biggest thing in French ever. So,
in French, yeah.
And John says I'm out of time. Call me tomorrow night. We'll be an hour late. I'm looking forward to it. We start at 11 Central. All right, so sorry about that. That's a wrap. We'll get to Katharina Valenti's heritage, and apologies to Chris and Greenwood and Mike in Elmwood Park. And call me back tomorrow. Like I say, we'll start an hour late, but then we'll have a couple hours together, and I'm looking forward to it. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. It's what makes the show a pleasure to do. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.